Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome again to the Ask LFC podcast. My name is Harrison. I'm the Worship Arts Director here at Lake Forest Huntersville, and we got a special treat today because we're joined by a whole cluster of people way out west. Hey, guys, can you go around and introduce yourselves? You're all normal people around here, but just to hear your voices, who do we got on a call here?
Hey, this is Mike Moses, lead pastor. We are coming to you from Denver, Colorado, where we're at our annual denominational gathering called General Assembly. Today's podcast is a little bit of a check-in from here and just a reminder of why it's important to us to be a church that's a part of a denomination. We're spiritually submitted to an authority over us. And here's who's with me out here this week.
Yeah, Lake Forest Huntersville. Great to have you guys listening in on us. Mike Rashid, if we haven't met, I am the session clerk, which just means I'm an administrator, a ruling elder. I kind of lead our elder leadership team as an air traffic controller. So we're constantly praying and looking over you guys. Excited to be here today.
What's up, guys? Andrew Ruth, Missio Dei pastor here out to make some connections with mission leaders in our denomination.
And hey, this is Scott Mattson, discipleship pastor, and excited to be out here at GA this week. I'm getting to connect with people and really enjoy some fantastic mission-based content.
Yeah. So we're, as a reminder, if you're new to Lake Forest Church and the Ask LFC podcast, we are part of a denomination called the Evangelical Presbyterian Church. It's a 700-800 churches around the country. We call ourselves Presbyterian with a small P and Big Christians with a big C first. The primary reason we're part of a denomination is the biblical principle of submission to spiritual authority over you. It's good for every Christian to have spiritual authority in their life. That's one reason why church membership is a healthy part of discipleship. There's no such thing as a solo Christian or one who doesn't have a spiritual authority in their life. And we think that's true for pastors and churches as well. The New Testament makes it really clear. In fact, guys, we got our pastors and head elder here, Mike Rashid. I found myself saying a lot recently that Paul's letters in the New Testament are actual artifacts of the connectionalism of all the early churches. Yeah. Like they're historical artifacts and evidence of the fact that churches are meant to be, from the beginning, mutually submitted to each other for right doctrine, to make sure we guard the true faith first entrusted to us by the apostles, and for right practice. There should be accountability if there's leadership misbehavior, et cetera, or need for growth. And so one of my little hobby horses is that the phenomena called independent or non-denominational church in America is super recent. It's an innovation in church history, to put it that way. And most people who start a non-denominational church or are part of one do so with very great motives and all that. And yet, we believe that that is a dangerous innovation and not the healthiest for a church. So anyway, just wanted you to hear that real quick. And our denomination comes together. We meet three times a year with the other EPC, Evangelical Presbyterian Church, churches in our Central Carolinas region. And then once a year, we all come together somewhere in one of our larger churches. This year, we're at Cherry Creek EPC Church in what town are we in outside of Denver? Is this Aurora? Inglewood.
Inglewood.
Oh, well, dudes, what is Ohio? We're like staying in what feels like a fraternity / sorority house. It's a big honking Airbnb with a ton of Lake Forest people from the family of churches, different pastors here, Andy, Terrell, Aaron, Mayor Robin from different churches, and then some of our people that we consider Lake Forest adjacent. We like to collect friends at our favorite other churches that we like to learn alongside of in the EPC, like churches that are really on mission, and we learn from them and they learn from us. Hmm. Some of them are planting churches, like especially one in Seattle. So some of them went in with us on the Airbnb too. Yeah. That's been kind of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey guys, what has been interesting, hopeful, or head scratching so far here at the EPC's General Assembly?
Oh, I'll go. This is Scott again. Yesterday on Tuesday, I was able to sit in on a workshop for ITEN, which is the International Theological Education Network. And they focus on training pastors in the majority world in countries where they don't have access to formal theological training. I've got some friends in that group, so it was great to see them and reunite with them. But also, it was just cool. Gave me just renewed hope that the gospel of Jesus is continuing to spread around the world. And the way that it typically spreads is through this thing that I was brought to Lake Forest to help do, which is called discipleship. Just life on life, discipling people, both individually and structurally. And I just really need to hear about what the Lord is doing around the world. And it's the same thing that he's doing right here in Huntersville. Well, right there in Huntersville, where you all are right now. As believers follow Jesus and just commit themselves to disciple others, the kingdom grows bit by bit, faithfully, and the way that he wants it to grow. So it was a cool reminder for me, and it's just fun to see old friends that I don't get to see very often.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
I'll actually take two. So again, if you haven't heard the voices or memorized all of our voices, microsheet here. The first one I'll hit on, I'll kind of double down on some words that Mike mentioned around the concept of submission and leadership and what it means to be ordained as an elder in the church. So some of you may recall recently we called for nominations out of the body for elders. So those ministry partners have been around and where you've seen leadership, what it means to be a leader in the church. And we'll continue that journey over the next few weeks. You'll hear more around potential elders coming to the congregation. But that role and its importance, you know, each of the pastors that I'm sitting here with are teaching elders, and I'm a ruling elder. That's by design. We are in an organization that has mutual submission. The pastors, the teaching elders, and the ruling elders work together to craft vision, to shepherd the church, or our version of the church. And then at each of these meetings that you heard Mike mention, presbytery meetings and general assembly, we come together to discern Christ's mind. And we work in mutual submission to say, these are the things that we see God doing today and every day, and what, where, how that applies to small churches, and then the church at large as a big C church across. So that's one. And then the second one I'll hit really quickly. I've been kind of really enthused. You know, Lake Forest, you hear us often talk about being a church planting church, and I've been able to meet new church planters, to hear what church planting is, both close to home in our area in North Carolina, and farther away, church planting in the Pacific Northwest, church planting in Alabama. Last time I was on the podcast, I think I shamelessly plugged it. You know, it's my home and alma mater, and I'm going to roll time just for Harrison.
Boom.
What, where, and how we're doing church planting in the EPC across. Go for it, Harrison.
I was just booing you. That's all.
Ah, yeah, there you go.
You're good to go. I just needed to interject that. Get back to serious things. My bad.
And there are 1,200 people here attending this, and we have 800 churches. And yesterday and today, they've encouragingly pointed out Lake Forest family of churches as a church planting bellwether or example. And we're grateful that through the generosity of our congregation, the vision that our elders have all agreed on, and that we are pursuing, we keep planting churches, and it's an encouragement and stimulant to the rest of the denomination. That's a good reason to be part of a denomination too, so that when we do faithful things, it gets on these other churches, and same thing with them on us. There's a lot of training this week for what does it mean to be a faithful, spiritually growing elder and pastor. Like, they're training into us. There's inspiration, and there's some business decisions we got to have. Andrew, what has struck you or caused you to scratch your head so far?
No, I'm pumped to get to be on this call and to get to hang out with you guys. This is my first General Assembly. I've been a pastor for a long time. My first time being at the national gathering like this. And I've been so incredibly encouraged because I expected to come to a massive business meeting. That was 3.5 days of just legislative work. And really, that's probably been maybe 20% of our time has been on really important conversations that are procedural and technical. The rest of our time has been spent in worship, equipping, collegiality, training, relationships. And so in many ways, it feels like being at a pastor's conference or a leadership conference. Maybe you've been to one of those professionally. Yeah, going to one of these conferences, professional conferences where you have a chance to network and meet people who are in your field can be really encouraging. But a lot of times those are people from so many different places and backgrounds, and they're adjacent to you, but you don't have the family connection. You don't have some kind of organizational tie to them. And so it can be a more tenuous and a large, kind of a big box feel, whereas this really feels like a family reunion. And there are so many praiseworthy people in our denomination doing excellent work that not only are we getting equipped to learn and share ideas and sharp iron sharpen iron, but there's this longevity factor that is completely different than going to a professional conference, because Pastor Mike knows people here for decades of time together, and Pastor Scott has relationships with people over years, or Andy Cornett. And so you have this familiarity, this family feel, but a family that's excellent and doing different stuff. And so that part's been really, really neat. We get to push each other, but there's accountability and there's relationships that amplify that 10 or 20 fold. You're not just listening to a good thinker. You're doing that with people that you're going to be in relationship with for years to come.
Mm. Something that, having been in our denomination, it's only 40, 45 years old, and I've been in it for now 30 of those years. Something that the EPC is known for on the North American denominational landscape, which is a phrase none of you have ever had to think about before, nor do you really need to unless you move to another city. Yeah. But honestly, we are a very familial denomination. So you may have heard me say that the first thing that drew me to it when I was looking of where I would, what kind of church I would go be a pastor at, was the motto that we say sometimes at Lake Forest, which is in essentials unity. And we're very clear about the essentials of the faith in our denomination, but in non-essentials, liberty. And we give a lot of liberty in this denomination about how you use the charismatic gifts, whether you ordain women in eldership and pastorship roles or not. We don't view that as a biblical essential, and many other things. And then in all things charity. And generally, our denomination is known for living that out in our relationship church to church and in our larger affiliations in a more congenial and familial and charitable way, according to our motto, than almost any other denomination. I've heard that said by kind of experts in the field, if there is such a thing. That congeniality and familialness is going to be threatened over the next couple of days, in the sense of we are going to be debating and deciding on a fairly contentious biblical theological issue. And if we think it's relevant, we might bring that back on a future podcast. Hmm. So if you think about praying for our participation, and all of us need to be thinking about how to be quick to listen, quick to hear, and slow to speak, and certainly slow to anger. So we're praying that we go through this in a way that that strengthens our familial bonds as a denomination and doesn't weaken them. Two other matters. One is at the start of the assembly yesterday, it was pretty cool. There was a bit of a Lake Forest flavor, because they always like to ask a new church planter who the denomination thinks is doing some creative work to kick off the whole meeting and pray for us. And they asked Terrell Huntley of Lake Forest U City. Terrell did a great job with himself and talked about their ministry. By the way, update on them. You know, a while back they started a Sunday service at a local homeless shelter in Cabarrus County called Op House, Opportunity House. They moved that service to Wednesdays. It serves more people, and it's an even better service. But he told about that and prayed for everybody. That was cool. But then what was really fun, every year the denomination elects a chair or a moderator of the larger National General Assembly, our denomination. And this year, our own, one of our founding elders, Jack Cathy, some of you will know him, some of them maybe not. Jack was part of, was at Lake Forest from year one, has been an elder, and he co-chairs our church planting elder committee with me for all these years. And Jack has been active in church planting, helping the EPC grow in church planting nationally. So he's had his hand in Lake Forest church planting and national denominational church planting, even while he's been a business professor at UNC Charlotte all these years. He's written textbooks. Did you guys know this?
Yeah.
Jack has published textbook. Accounting students around the world read Dr. Kathy's works, and he's just Jack to us, NASCAR fan Jack. But I got to nominate him to the whole group just to say, here's who this guy is who we're about to elect as our president for this year. And his installation was really beautiful. So Lake Forest, just know that you're well represented by Jack, really leading from the front this whole week. Guys, anything else you'd like to say? And then I promised one tidbit from my sermon Sunday, and I'm going to hit that for just a quick second, and then we'll sign off and go back to the beautiful, sunny, no humidity air here in Denver, Colorado. We're at 5,500 feet, looking at the Front Range Rocket Range Rocky Mountains right now.
I just got to say, this is Scott. If you know me, you know I moved here from Oregon, and seeing the mountains and not having humidity again is like, oh man. I'm loving Lake Forest, and I'm not going anywhere. But man, it's like, okay, I'm missing a little bit of the climate of Oregon right now. You know, it's nice, but no. Yeah. But in seriousness, though, on another note, like what Mike was just saying, it really is something maybe that gets overlooked, but it's important, you know, for us to be tied into a denomination, because it is important for all of us to have community. And for pastors and elders to be able to have other pastors and elders not in our churches that we can sit down over lunch and just be like, hey, this is what's going on that's really hard right now. And knowing that that person lives 2,000 miles away. And so they can hear that and handle that. That kind of thing, too, is also important, I have found, at General Assemblies especially, which is really good.
I agree.
I'm gonna take that and springboard off of it, because if you're listening, and again, I know you're still learning voices, you probably know the other three voices better than mine, so you may guess this is Mike again. You know, when we talk about the family aspect of General Assembly or of these meetings, and you hear Scott mention this community is important, it's also, I mean, it does translate directly into what we're doing at Lake Forest every week. So being part of community, finding your people, being on a discipleship journey where you have the one and two that aren't 2,000 miles away, but they're just maybe two blocks away. And you have that day where you need to talk to somebody or you want to get that off. And letting that be something that's centered in what Christ is doing in your lives, what Christ is doing in the world, centered on his word and how it impacts and creates and changes us. That's what this meeting is about at its best. And that's what we're trying to do when we say one more person and we say, this is who Lake Forest is.
Terrell made the entire assembly repeat the words, one more person. He said our mantra at our church plant is we're here to reach one more person. Harrison, you would have loved it. He acted like he made it up.
He did. He gave credit.
Like a good church planner and pastor should.
That's awesome.
But I think that would be the last part that is really encouraging about being part of a denomination, is that when networks of churches work well together, it creates a flywheel for reaching one more person.
Mm-hmm.
Because Lake Forest Huntersville can reach one more person in Huntersville. But we already know we can't reach one more person in Concord very well. That's why we launched Andy at Trinity Forest, is that they can reach one more person. And we want every community to have a Bible-believing, gospel-centered, Jesus-loving church there that's outward-focused and community-serving. But we don't want that just for North Carolina. We don't want that just for the American South. We don't even just want that for America. We want that to the ends of the earth. And so when we're here, we're in this incredible place where we get to celebrate that God is planting churches and God is building Christ Church all across our nation in creative ways, and God is revitalizing historic churches with fresh wind of the Holy Spirit that are reaching one person. But then when we work together, we get to do things like send 92 missionaries out into the field. We just stopped everything to pray for the 3 billion people on our planet right now that have no access to the gospel.
All 1,000 people. That was powerful prayer to me.
There will be
with the scriptures read over us from Revelation 7.
We imagine that the end of time, like Mike just said, in Revelation, we see this picture that we will fall down and worship with saints from every tribe, tongue, and nation, that Jesus is the only one who is worthy of that worship. And right now, Jesus is not receiving worship from over 7,000 people groups. And so we took a chance to just pray, God, would you reach one more, not just one more person, but one more people group through us, and to mobilize on that mission. And that's not something an individual church can do. That's not something that we're incredibly hamstrung by. If we only tried to do that as an individual believer, or only tried to do that even as an individual congregation, it'd be very difficult for us to make a dent in that. But collectively, we are doing that. Collectively, we have this incredible opportunity to move, to invite people into these healthy communities, but then also to reproduce them, not just in the United States, but across the globe. And so getting to meet with people and do that for the sake of God's mission, for the sake of one more person, is so incredibly powerful.
Yeah.
Also,
as we wrap up the conversation around GA, I'll call out quickly just a hat tip and a huge recognition for Cherry Creek Presbyterian, where we are.
Yes.
Lead pastor Brad Strait. We're sitting in assistant pastor Josh Peck's office, but more than anything, the staff and the ministry partners here that are putting on GA. Mike mentioned Presbytery. We do that sometimes at Lake Forest. We host Presbytery every once in a while, and several of you may have served. The staff always serves. It's a huge outreach in a way of blessing those who come to this. So just well done by the church here, part of a denomination, worth knowing. You know, you're traveling around. We love seeing you online, but you may be able to hop into a church that's right around the corner from where you're standing, where you're at. So
that's true. Lake Forest folks, we always love when we hear about you dialing into the Ask LFC podcast. One of the things that you love and feel secure about in your church at Lake Forest is that we are part of an expanding family of churches. One of the ways we follow the Great Commission as a church is planting new churches regionally. I hope you also feel a comfort that we're a part of a denomination. Doesn't mean that all of our ministry partners need to submit to the Presbyterian things, big P or even little p, too much. The elders and pastors level shoulder that on purpose, and that's part of the calling to be an elder or pastor at our church. And Mike, we really appreciate, as you stepped, you had already been leading the Friday morning men's group for some time, leading men and study, discovering the Word of God, a lot of them for the first time, going deeper in it. And I've appreciated, as I've watched you really grapple with and own and love our Reformed theological stream of Christianity, within which we swim and have accountability, even as we honor and admire other faithful streams of Christianity. Hey, let me finish with a little housekeeping. Sunday, as an application of the fruit of the Spirit called peacemaking, I gave those 10 principles for Christian citizenship in a polarized time from a group called the AND Campaign. One of those 10 principles was to practice media hygiene, which was just about being sure that before I speak, especially if I'm going to speak polemically, publicly, in a way that really draws lines and draws some people out, that I have read the other side's most faithful arguments, for example, and can at least give credit for the best of their motivations, for example. And so I was challenged with this media hygiene principle some time ago, which was to consume media from across the political spectrum. I don't believe that means to, nor was I trying to imply in the sermon, to not have strong convictions of your political persuasion, your political philosophy, that we then apply the scripture to over top of, hopefully not underneath to. But it is important to see from all sides, especially because we live in an age of what Justin Gibney calls conflict entrepreneurs.
Oh, yeah.
And they're online and they're in the media. And so there's no such thing as no media bias. And the more biased a media source is, the more they are operating both as a news source and a conflict entrepreneur on their end of things. All that to say, here's my recommendation. the website allsides.com. Andrew Ruth and I have both found this website very helpful. I was given this several years ago, and I reworked my news intake according to go to allsides.com, and you'll have to click around and find where they have charts, and they'll have a chart of the media bias, right, left, center, a little bit right, a little bit lot right, a little bit left, a little bit lot left. And I just would challenge you and encourage you to examine your media intake and be sure, especially look at it on their spectrum, find their chart of where major media sources fall on there. And especially if almost all of your or my media intake is farther to the end of one of the spectrums, you know, the more likely we are a victim of conflict entrepreneurship and a bias from there, and a Christian citizen wanting to engage in the fruit of peacemaking would do well to read some from the other side. That's all I got to say about that. Hey, thank you for tuning in this week. And guys, it's good to share this with you today.
Likewise. God bless you, Lake Forest.
Awesome.
We love you.
Awesome stuff, guys. Appreciate it. And we will catch you next time on the Ask LFC podcast. See you guys.